Jeremiah 2, quickly, I just go through some things. We talked about this during the watch night service. I just want to break it down so people understand it in a step-by-step way, all right, going into the new year. I believe what we're going to share here will determine all the experiences we're going to have this year. And these experiences shall all be born by the Holy Ghost, and they shall all be created by the Spirit of God. Now, in Jeremiah 2:13 here, God has said this. I will read the scripture. He said, my people have committed two evils. The first one, he said, is that they have forsaken the fountains of living water, or the fountain of living water, not fountain, the fountain of living waters. That's the first thing. Now, God here introduces himself and gives himself a name, and he said the name here is the fountain of living waters there. That the person you have forsaken is the fountain of living waters. In other words, it might be that you're going to say, well, I've not forsaken God. All right, you know, I serve God. I go through what we call religious activities in church. I serve God. I carry him in my consciousness and all of that. But he said, you have forsaken me as the fountain of living waters. You say, well, right, if you don't even understand what the living waters are, so to speak, that, then you might not really understand. Say, well, when I needed a job, I asked for the job. All right, I look to you, but God says, listen, the fountain, the word fountain means the source of living waters in your life. He said, you have severed the relationship with him in that way. Now, we may be doing things, all right, on the outside that seem to be religious. In fact, in the nation of Israel, God said, you've forsaken me at one point. And he said, how? All right? And people don't understand that it's considered that you are forsaking God when, you know, God told them, he said, you have bound me from your life. You have incapacitated me, all right, in terms of moving on your behalf to get things done. They said, how? He said, your words are stout against me. In other words, you begin to speak words there. Somebody says, well, you know, I do things in church, I do that. But when they ask you about your life, you say, well, everything is just messed up. And you don't understand that utterances like this and words like this represent forsaking God. That he said, everything is just terrible. Nothing is working for me. Life is so hard. This country is so difficult. And you say what the Bible refers to as death-filled words to the extent that God says, I cannot even participate in your life. When we talk about business, you say, oh, business has been terrible. Things are so difficult. This APC, they didn't just change. They changed and changed me too. You get what I'm saying here? All right? That this change is not the change that we are thinking about. And you use those kinds of words there. And it affects you in every single way there. And God says this amounts to forsaking me, all right, the fountain of waters. And then he said the second thing is you now hewn unto yourself cisterns, and these cisterns were even broken vessels there that could not even carry water. So we want to look at, first of all, what is this, all right, living waters there? That God said, I'm the fountain and the source of this. So we understand what God is saying, that I'm the source of something. And I want you to come back to me, so I will give you that particular thing in abundant measure. Now, Jesus spoke about this, and it was so important to Jesus, this living waters, that in John chapter 7 and verse 37, he said, the Bible records that in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried. Now, to cry is a voice that is laden with emotion. In other words, this was an emotional, all right, cry here. An emotional call out to people. He stood up there and he cried, saying, and you could hear the emotion in his voice. That's why he said he cried. Now, God forbid we hear the cry of somebody outside. From the sound of that person's voice, you can know that this person is in desperate need of help, and this person has only a 30-second window to be helped, just from the sound, which means the emotion that comes with that cry, with that voice there, right? You know that. So Jesus stood up and he cried unto them. All right? Spoke out loud unto them, and this is what he said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers, and he talks about of living water. Now, what is the living water there? But this he spake of the Spirit, which should those that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he was talking about something that was going to happen, all right, in our own day. All right, after his exaltation, after his glorification. And he's at the right hand of the Father, and pouring out the Spirit to us. He said, if any man is thirsty, let him come up unto me and drink. Then he went on and gave us, I want to look at this, the step-by-step way in which we get results. He said, let him come to me and drink. I was so sure what that meant. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers. So we could say living waters is rivers of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit will flow out of the innermost part of our beings as rivers into our lives. We went there, we were just thirsty, and what came as a result of it, when we went to it, was rivers of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? Going into every area of our lives. The Holy Ghost coming out. I mean, it is beyond our imagination. The Holy Ghost himself, third person, manifesting God, flowing out of us as rivers there, going into everything that we do, going into our family, going into the work of our hands, going into our body, where the scripture says he makes manifest in our mortal flesh the life of Jesus. These are the three areas that he wants to flow into, personally speaking now. As you as an individual, before he talks about all the things he will do through you. He wants to go into your family life. Remember, right, that when man fell, first thing that God said is going to be affected by sin. That is, when the sin entered into the world, death came by sin. He said, this is what sin will do. This is the manifestation of death. He said, this is what he told Eve. This is how your family is going to be. Then he went in and told, Adam there. And he said, I keep wanting to say Abraham and Sarah. All right. And told Adam and said to him, the work of your hands here. You are going to sweat off your face. Are you going to eat bread? And so he wants the Holy Ghost to permeate these areas so that God is seen clearly within our lives there. And he tells us the order, whosoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He drinks of me, then out of his own innermost being, he, from his innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Many of us will look at it and say, well, I've prayed about things and I'm waiting for God. Right? And we don't follow the instruction that Jesus laid down. If we buy this air conditioner here and you want to make use of it, you read the manual there where the instructions on how, all right, to make use of this air conditioning system here in order to be able to benefit from it. And where they tell you to put the wires, you put the wires. And when they tell you to put the plug, you put the plug. You do exactly what they have said, and then when you switch it on, you expect what they have promised to come to pass. So, if we look at this, many people just say, I prayed about something, I've been praying. We need to understand that praying just in itself, just the practice, is not something that is impressive, just on its own. I will show what is impressive about prayer. Because Jesus said, do not pray as the heathen do. In other words, the heathen to pray. So when the heathen are in trouble, they to pray. So for one just to get up and say, but I prayed, and I've told God about what I need, all right, and then, you know, we start expecting, you know, and start checking to see whether God has. I said, the hidden to pray. He said, but this is what makes an impression on God. After this manner, pray ye. In other words, it is the content of your prayer, which means it is what you are uttering out of your lips in prayer. It is the things that you ask for. He said, this is how the Gentiles pray. And they do pray. And the heathen, they also pray this way. But it says, after this manner, pray ye. Right? So, it is the content of our prayers that really make an impression on God. That's why Solomon, when the prayer was right, God said to Solomon that you did not ask for finances, money, riches. You didn't ask for your enemy's lives. You didn't ask for this. What you asked for was wisdom and understanding on how to judge my people. That is, I gave you a blank check, and this is what you asked for. What concerns me the most about shepherding my people right, about leading my people correctly in and out. You did not ask for your own self. You were not selfish about this. God said, listen, I am telling you as a covenant here that you are going to be the richest king upon the earth. And he said, there will be none wiser than you, all right, in flesh and blood. And God began to pronounce things to him. So the content of the prayer, right, it is very, very important to God. So he tells us, I want to look at this. He said, when you are thirsty, come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So he tells us, first of all, come to me and drink. So you say, well, I'm thirsty. What does it mean to be thirsty? David said, I thirst for your power. I long to see your power. As the deer thirsts, all right, for water there, I thirst for your power. Long to see it. So you are in a situation and you thirst to see the demonstration of God's power there. Someone says, well, I've lost my job and I thirst to see God demonstrate his power. I want to see a demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what Paul was saying, and of the power of God in this situation. He said, fine. He said, this is the first thing that you do. Come unto me and drink. He said, you want to see power operate in your life to fulfill things? Come to me first and drink. What does that mean? Isaiah 55 tells us what it means. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money. And some people say, well, I don't have any money for these things that are in my heart I want to do. I don't have any money. I need money. I need capital. If one can just, he said, before you start saying that, and I'll show you something in Bible here. It says, before you start saying you have no money, it says, come first of all to the living waters there. He said, that's why he said, you are forsaking the fountain of living waters. You don't understand, all right, what this living waters is about. He said, before you say I have no money, come ye and buy and eat. Right? So come to this place and partake of these waters. That's what it means to eat there. Right? He says buy, which means there's a sacrifice, but it's not with money. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Right? So it's the price there is not money. Wherefore do you spend the money? Everyone tells us. I tell you that you are spending. He says, you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not. He said, now this is how you drink from these waters. Hearken diligently unto me. Hearken diligently means listen attentively and diligently, continuously unto me. And then he goes on, eat that which is good. In other words, as you listen there, you start feeding on that. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. So the first instruction he says is come to the waters and hearken. Right? Before you come out and say, well, I'm praying for this, say, come to the waters and listen. Then he goes on and says, incline your ear unto me. That's verse 3 now. incline your ear and come to me and hear. So, the same way we've talked about this air conditioning unit, you follow the instructions. He said, you are thirsty, come to me first and hear. He said, look, or else you will spend money for that which is not bread. And as you are spending money, you will labor for that which profiteth not. He says, come to me and hear, and then as you hear, the waters will get into your soul, and your soul will live. In other words, even before there is a change and anything happens, your soul on the inside will begin to live. What you are hearing there will give hope there. What I will tell you will cause your soul to live. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. Come and hear, your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, that sure mercy of David is found in the book of Acts. And what it tells us is that he did not suffer his soul to see corruption. All right? Which means the sure mercy of David there, he didn't allow him, but he raised him up, right, from the dead. Didn't suffer his soul to see corruption. But then he raised him up, right, from the dead there. So he's telling us here that this woman you will not, and you are going to experience a resurrection there. Power from that particular situation if you come and you listen to me. So the first thing, right, is this. When a person in a situation, right, have you heard the words of God that he is saying to you? That's how the life, the water there, it quenches your thirst. Then he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. What is going to come out of you from your belly is going to surpass anything. All right, you went in just, you were thirsty, right? Abraham went in and said, God, give me. And God said, a father of many nations have I made thee. So you come in and you're thirsty and you ask for something, and God says, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. So it's going to flow out of your belly in great quantity. I think it was Kenneth Copeland who said this. He said that, you know, when we read that scripture, when the enemy comes in like a flood, it says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift a standard before him. He said if you read it in Hebrew and look at the way it's punctuated there, you'll find out that this is what it reads. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift a standard. Not that the enemy comes in like a flood. It's the Spirit of God that will lift a standard like a flood. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means he moves in with surpassing power there. All right, one of the strategies in the U.S. military during their war in Iraq, they called it shock and awe, which means that you shake the entire system. You come with so much force that you don't have to use the force for too long because people are demoralized by it. They just say, listen to me, this power is too much here. So shock and awe, to shorten the war, shock and awe. When people, you know, you demonstrate power, that people say, I don't want this kind of bullet to hit me. Just whatever you want, take. So God says the Holy Ghost will come in like a flood. Alright, so next time the demon thinks about you, he will consider it very, very well before he comes. The Spirit of God will lift a standard against him. Now, so let's look at the woman with the issue of blood as an example. Look at Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. There was a certain woman. Now, follow this about, he says, come and incline your ear, you shall live. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? You labor for that which satisfieth not. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all she had. In other words, this is how she suffered. She was spending all of her earnings on the suggestions of the physicians. So one physician will say, well, that one was wrong. If you do like this and do like this, she spends money, nothing. Then another physician comes, you do like this, you do like this, it will work, nothing. Bible says she spent all that she had. And what was the experience? Nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So she suffered many things of physicians and it got worse. Now, where did the change come? Remember, Isaiah said, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? You labor for that. He said, hearken diligently unto me, incline your ear. The next thing that he says, but when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. In other words, This woman now heard something, which was the beginning, the first thing that God said at the beginning, which means come and hear. Now she heard of Jesus. And when the scripture says she heard of Jesus, it was deeper than just saying, just a casual conversation that Jesus healed. Because the conclusion that she made from what she heard was, if I will just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, what you need to understand is that nobody had done that before. Nobody had gone to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ in order to be made whole. Now, after she did it, you'll find later on chapters, many more people did it. Even the apostles didn't understand what she was doing, because Peter came and said, Jesus said, somebody has taught me. He said, what are you talking about? People have taught. So it's not something, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. She heard, and that's what we're calling insight. That's living water, which means Holy Ghost granted insight. In other words, she got revelation, and that's why Paul, in his prayers for the church, said the same thing. He said, God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, which means as you are listening to the knowledge of him, you have that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. He said that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Thank you for listening.